Welcome to the Dream Factory, a warm, cozy, and extremely lovely place where only the most visceral nightmares and pleasure-driven musings of its residents are mercilessly extracted and sold for the pure enjoyment of others. The Dream Factory, a new novel by Mark Marcus. Now available on your Apple device, Kindle, and on Amazon.com. Go to CandleShorePublishing.com/Dream Factory.
The midterm congressional elections are still 6 months away, but the campaign fundraising season, which never really ends, is just reaching its peak. With all the talk about members of Congress's irreconcilable political differences, we wanted to see if they shared any common ground, and we found some. For example, there seems to be a permanent majority in Congress that's completely satisfied with the current state of campaign financing and congressional ethics, and members of both parties have institutionalized ways to skirt the rules and maintain the lifestyles that many of them have grown accustomed to. As we learned when we first reported this story last October, most Americans believe it's against the law for congressmen and senators to profit personally from their political office. But it's an open secret in Washington that that's not the case. As the saying goes, the real scandal in Washington isn't what's illegal, it's what's legal.
Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss likes golf, so much so that he spent more than $100,000 the past 2 years entertaining at some of the finest courses in the world. New York Congressman Gregory Meeks prefers football. He spent $35,000 on NFL games. All of this was paid for with political contributions, all in the name of democracy.
I think campaign fundraising is increasingly not just about winning elections. It's a lifestyle subsidy.
Peter Schweitzer is an author and fellow at the Hoover Institution.
So we've got to look into that. But if
for the past few years, he and a team of researchers have been investigating the way congressmen and senators have personally benefited from the hundreds of millions of dollars in political contributions that have poured into the system.
Most people have the impression that campaign funds cannot be used for personal expenses. Is that true?
Yes. Regular campaign funds cannot. That's correct. But there are ways around it. Like all things in Washington, the devil is in the details, and loopholes are usually put in place for a reason.
For example, when Congress passed the Ethics Reform Act of 1989, it plainly stated a member shall convert no campaign funds to personal use. But soon afterwards, congressional leaders quietly invented something called leadership PACs, political action committees that were not technically campaign funds and thus exempt from the personal use prohibition.
This is a loophole.
Right. That's correct.
Trevor Potter is a former chairman of the Federal Election Commission. He says it didn't take long for congressmen and senators to figure out the distinct advantages of having a leadership PAC with no restrictions.
Since they weren't around when the ban on personal use was put into place, they're not covered by it, and they can be used for literally anything.
Over time, the leadership PACs that were created as a way for congressional leaders of both parties to raise money and distribute it to their members have evolved into something different. Today, nearly every congressman and senator has a leadership PAC, not just the leaders, and they're used to solicit contributions from friends and supporters in order to advance their political agendas, their careers, and in many cases, their lifestyle.
Like a political slush fund.
That's exactly what it is. It's a political slush fund. Over time, we've had them, they've been outlawed, they spring back in new guises, and this is the latest guise.
Potter says they're essentially personal political expense accounts financed largely by lobbyists and special interest groups. Leadership PACs are now the second largest political revenue stream for members of Congress.
You can use them for babysitting, paying for babysitters. You can use them for paying for car service. You can use them for travel. Nobody's really checking to see whether this is personal or legitimate business expense.
Back in 2006, North Carolina Senator and presidential candidate John Edwards used his leadership PAC to pay his mistress, Riel Hunter, $114,000 to make a campaign video. And Republican Congressman Andrew Crenshaw of Florida spent $32,000 hosting a tour of California wineries for a group of contributors from the defense industry, which he has some oversight of.
You know, look, they're not having leadership PAC meetings at the Hampton Inn down the road. They're going to the premier golfing and resorts in the United States and sometimes around the world. And that's ostensibly where they're doing this leadership PAC work.
For example, Democratic Congressman Robert Andrews of New Jersey used $16,000 from his leadership PAC, the Committee to Strengthen America, to fly his family to Scotland, ostensibly to attend the wedding of a friend that he was thinking about hiring as a political consultant.
Why he needed to meet him in Edinburgh, Scotland at a four-star resort, I think is open to question. So they will categorize them as something related to the leadership PAC, but in reality, they're for personal use.
We wanted to talk to Congressman Andrews about his leadership PAC and the family trip to Scotland, but were turned down. We did manage to find him at a hearing and passed him a note announcing our presence. Andrews, it turns out, is under investigation by the House Ethics Committee for misusing campaign funds to advance the career of his daughter. He agreed to talk to us outside.
What about this trip to Scotland?
I followed all the rules, met the standards, and there is a matter pending for the House Ethics Committee. Under those rules, my obligation is not to talk about the investigation until it's over.
We talked to the Ethics Committee. They said they have no problem with you talking to us about this.
Well, as my understanding of the rules are that when there's a pending matter, I'm supposed to keep it confidential, and so are they. So I'm going to follow those rules.
These leadership PACs have been described by a lot of people as sort of political slush funds. You agree with that?
You know, I think we should take a look at having clear rules of what they can and cannot be spent for. I'd be for that.
That's what almost everyone in Congress says, but no one really seems to want reform. It should be pointed out that not all congressmen use their PACs for their personal benefit, but the Federal Election Commission has called the level of abuse substantial. Its former chairman, Trevor Potter, says the commission has consistently recommended to Congress that it outlaw the personal use of leadership PACs.
And what's happened to that recommendation?
Nothing. It enters a black hole.
That's because the leadership PACs have become a political annuity for Congress that members can cash in when they leave office or hold on to for the future.
What you see more often is that members will keep the leadership PAC and they will use it in retirement for everything that is vaguely a political expense. If they become a lobbyist, which about half of members who leave Congress do nowadays, that becomes their lobbying slush fund. It keeps going, at least until death.
And even beyond death.
Even beyond death, someone else is spending that money.
When Republican Congressman Paul Gilmore of Ohio died suddenly from a heart attack in 2007, his staff decided that no political contribution should go unspent.
The staff went off to a number of dinners and pizza parties and other events using the leadership PAC money. What they said was, well, it's a grieving process, and also we need to talk to each other about getting new jobs, and this is a way to do it.
And nobody had any problems with that?
The problem is it's not illegal.
There are lots of things in Washington that would seem to be illegal, but really aren't, if you know your way through the loopholes. Melanie Sloan is the executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, a small group that tracks campaign expenditures. As we said earlier, it's against the law to use campaign funds for personal use. But Sloan says it's perfectly acceptable to use campaign funds to hire your wife, husband, children, grandchildren, and in-laws.
While there are anti-nepotism rules that prevent them from hiring their family members on the official staff, they can indeed hire them on the campaign payroll, and do.
And they do.
And they do.
Sloan says there are at least 75 members of Congress who have hired members of their family to work on their campaign and paid them with political contributions. Until Republican Congressman Ron Paul of Texas retired in 2012, he seemed to be the leader with six family members on the campaign payroll. Daughter, daughter's mother-in-law, three grandchildren, and a grandchild-in-law, paying them a total of $304,000 over the past two election cycles. But Paul only ranked third in total payouts to family members, behind former Republican Congressman Jerry Lewis and Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters, both of California.
For some congressmen and senators, this is sort of a family business.
Absolutely. It's a family business. They have members of their family on the campaign payroll, and they also will often have members of their family who are lobbyists and lobby on issues in which the member may even be working.
We were interested in talking to Republican Congressman Rodney Alexander, who had just retired midterm after winning a campaign with no Democratic opposition, a race in which he paid his two daughters a total of $130,000.
Good. Congressman?
Yes, sir.
Steve Croft from 60 Minutes. We just wanted to ask you about both your daughters are on the campaign staff. I mean, the figures that we have, according to the reports, are $73,000 to Lisa Lowe and $57,000 to Ginger.
That's for 2 years. That's for the election cycle.
Mm-hmm. What exactly did they do? Can you tell me?
Do everything that others do for other campaigns.
Whatever they did, it couldn't have been that stressful. Alexander won 78% of the vote against a Libertarian candidate who wanted to abolish the IRS.
I mean, to some people, it just looks like you're using your campaign fund to enrich your family.
Well, somebody has to do that work, Steve.
So you kept it in the family?
Well, I kept it with somebody that I can trust. And if one can't trust their daughter, then who can they trust?
I think it's the kind of nepotism that in large parts of American society we frown about. I mean, in corporate America, a lot of corporations have policies that relate to nepotism and the hiring and firing of individual people. But Congress has created this domain that allows them to decide whether something is ethical or whether something is good. And it's another example, unfortunately, where the rules that apply to the rest of us don't really apply to members of Congress.
In 2011, Senator David Vitter of Louisiana introduced a bill to try and rectify the situation. It would prohibit members from paying relatives with campaign or leadership accounts.
That is a loophole, an area of abuse that we must close.
So far, Senator Vitter has not found a single co-sponsor, and no one is the least bit surprised.
Everyone in Washington knows this goes on. It's well known, an open secret. The problem is people in Ohio and New Mexico have no idea what's going on here in Washington.
Sloan says another way congressmen can personally benefit from the use of political contributions is by making personal loans to their campaign funds, then charging above market and sometimes exorbitant interest rates. Sloan's organization found at least 15 cases, with the worst offender being Democratic Congresswoman Grace Napolitano, who charged her campaign 18%.
How much money did she loan her campaign?
She loaned herself $150,000 and over a 12-year period took in $228,000 in interest.
I think everybody would like that investment.
I think so.
And that's legal.
And that's legal.
After weeks of trying to get an interview with Congresswoman Napolitano, we finally cornered her outside a meeting of the Hispanic caucus. She told us that as a woman and a minority, banks wouldn't lend her money, so she had to withdraw $150,000 from an investment account to lend it to her campaign.
You loan money to your campaign and then charge the campaign 18% interest?
That is correct. To be able to do a lot of the things that I had to do were not feasible unless I did what I had to do. And so at that point, that was what was recommended, and that's what I went with.
I don't think there's anything wrong with loaning your campaign money. But then collecting 18% interest from your campaign seems
a little... Would you go out and get a loan and not get charged interest?
It's still 18% and $228,000
in interest. You like the favor 18%.
I do like the favor. I mean, that's what the mafia gets.
It isn't like I've really profited. I still live in the same house. I drive a small car. I am not a billionaire or a millionaire, for that matter.
Did your campaign contributors know that you were paying back a loan, charging the campaign committee 18%?
Well, you don't go out and publicize that, but they know that I had a campaign debt.
When folks are asked for campaign donations and when they make campaign donations, they're doing it because they are in sync with that member of Congress's views and they want to see them pushing policies and get reelected. I don't think they have any idea that some of that money is actually going into the member's personal bank account.
There are currently two modest ethics reform bills pending in Congress that would change a small part of what we've been talking about. One sponsored by a Senate Republican, the other by a House Democrat. Neither has a prayer of even being debated.
We hear a lot about how there's so much partisan fighting in Washington, Steve. Here's a great example of bipartisanship. Both sides like this current system.
In February, Congressman Rob Andrews of New Jersey resigned in the middle of his two-year term to run the government relations practice of a Philadelphia law firm. He said that the ethics probe had nothing to do with his decision to quit Congress. He's leaving, he says, because the new job would pay him more money than his congressional salary. After our story aired, there were additional legislative attempts to close the leadership PAC loophole. So far, they have received very little support.